Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope, nay, I know all's well wherever you are. Football season is here. Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program. Today, as we will do every week in advance of the weekend's actions, we're going to tell you who's going to win all the biggest games with great definition and explanation as to why those things are going to happen. Seated to my immediate left, first of all, let's say hello. You know what? I'm going to go over here to a guy whose team almost made it to the NFC title game a year ago. High hopes in Big D once again. Let's say hello to him. You see him on HQ in the mornings on the network. You read his stuff on NFL.com. Elliot Harrison, what's the poop, fella?
Hey, I tell you, that was a really smooth intro. I'm glad that Black Tie came in here and told you how to do the show. I mean, you never say hi, hello, football fans. And
I know, he said I should say hello to you at the top of the show.
I thought you did. You think that was a good job?
Yeah, that's right. All right, so that's that. And next, let's say hello to our resident Miami Dolphins fan on the show, all the way from London, England. Here he is, everybody. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
We got to get that open down. It's a little clunky.
Is it still clunky?
For those watching, and of course, we appreciate everybody listening on iTunes, Stitcher, or NFL.com/podcasts is how you track that down. Of course, also on YouTube and the links available, NFL Now, so on and so forth. Track us down. That's on you at some point. You know, it's the 21st century. Get with the times, people. We're way into the century now. Figure out how to find the show. YouTube, like I say, in the short term, at the very least. Handsome Hank, though, yeah, he does his whole James Bond thing. We have to figure out
I'd like to get an open light James Bond, if possible.
We'll see. Like I say, YouTube is where you can watch us right now. Let's take a look at some of the comments we've been getting from viewers. A lot of fascination with the appearance of Handsome Hank. Some people struck by the fact that he is, in fact, handsome, which is weird that, you know, of course, why would I make that up? I guess I could be ironic. Every time, Nicholas
Lindberg.
He loves the...
I see. Every time I hang song, all I hear is...
He's had some eggs.
He's had some eggs.
Could be good. Maybe it's like you, James Bond, but you're carrying poached eggs with you or something. All right, next up, Damashek. Way too high on the KC Chiefs.
Yes. I disagree.
Well, if you saw our earlier podcast this week or listened to it, you know that I issued my predictions fast. No changing them now. This is it. They are locked, and I am picking the Kansas City Chiefs to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Plus one. Well, not on the Super Bowl, but winning the AFC West.
Yeah,
plus
AFC West
one.
Is one thing. Yeah. He says they're going all the way to San Francisco.
Josiah says, if Handsome Hank had better clothes, you could be on the cover
clothes.
Of GQ. Yeah.
What do you mean, you know?
Is that lavender?
Ah, look at that.
That is actually a GQ cover that I did a few years ago.
Now we're cooking with gas, and of course it makes sense. You've got that Euro fit.
Henrik Lundqvist, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, look at the Henrik Lundqvist call from Elliot Harrison. We got a hockey team in Texas now. We stole them from up Minnesota way. We took them and made them the Stars. We took the North Star. We took North out of the title.
Should have Brett Hull's goal counted? The one in the crease?
No, by the rules. Of course not. That shouldn't have counted. But let's not talk about puck. Let's talk pro football. Yes, if you're watching us on Thursday, we don't know the outcome of the game yet, or do we? We're going to dig into all of Sunday's and Monday's games more specifically, rather than focus on Thursday night, the assumption being, of course, that many of you have already seeing that game and know the result of it. You know, Football Baby saw it in his mind. He is back for season two, much to my delight, and I hope to yours. Here is his pick for the Steelers and Patriots game. Like I say, he's on his feet now, so he's not tipping over. So this is our first go with it this season.
Oh, baby, the baby who picks football games.
It's time. Football Baby, season kickoff, Pittsburgh Steelers, New England Patriots. Choose. No. Choose.
world awaits. Choose! Oh. You look like the Patriots for a moment. It is the Patriots. Boo.
Boo indeed, but he's his own man, and, you know, listen, he agrees with the old man on this one. That home opener for that team always wins. The Thursday night game, we've talked about it quite a bit. I think it's 10 of 11 games or 11 of 12. The home team always wins, so maybe, and hopefully, I look foolish saying this right now if you're watching this on Friday or Saturday, getting ready for Sunday. Anywho, fellas, let's get into Sunday's game, shall we? Yeah. And I know, listen, no offense, Kamish Goodell and all the planners for the league. This Thursday one is fine to me. But to me, the real treat is the Sunday games. You know, right. And to me, it is maybe the best day on the sports calendar. You know, I can make a case for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, the first day of March Madness. But it feels special that Sunday morning, waking up, you know. In fact, Handsome, you couldn't sleep at all.
I couldn't sleep last night. I was so excited about kickoff that I just woke up at 2 o'clock this morning. I've been going ever since. And I'm so up for it.
I think opening weekend is maybe the underrated weekend of the NFL schedule. I think wild card and divisional round always get kind of the props for being the best weekend than maybe the Super Bowl. By the way, what does Football Baby have against Steve Grogan?
Right.
Football Baby just took Steve Grogan and...
Oh, I think
was that Plunkett? Was
disgust.
That Grogan? I noticed it was an old...
I think that was just the disgust at having to pick the Patriots. It's like, all right, yeah, I'll pick the Patriots, but Grogan's on the floor.
I'm not
going to
happen.
Wearing his neck roll, right. So he'll be all right.
Real quick, let me say this. I have to address something. I have to address something publicly.
Yes.
You've heard me discuss it in the past. I'm going to bring it up right now. My fantasy league that is with Cousin Sal from the Kimmel Show. Mm-hmm. He's one of the founders of the league.
Drop some more names.
Bill Simmons,
yep.
The sports guy.
Heard of him.
Yeah. John Hamm from, you know.
Hammy guy.
Hamm, you know.
Yep.
St. Louis sports fame.
Yep.
And so on. So I'm in this league with this group of guys, and Sal, about 8 years ago, instituted a diabolical thing that the previous year's champion at the night of the draft, when everybody has finally gathered and is sitting down ready to go, all their prep in front of them, then and only then shall the previous year's champion stand up and announce that he is kicking someone out of the league for 1 year. And a lot of people, there's been a lot of heat over this. 2 years ago, in fact, two guys who had won the league were too cowardly to do their required deed of kicking somebody out of the league. It's not pleasant to do,
right,
but you must do it.
Thing.
They pushed it back at the league. They said, everybody, let's do it like Real Survivor. Everybody write down who they want kicked out of the league on a slip of paper.
Oh,
we'll
cruel.
Pull them out of a hat. Well, I had reason to believe that there were conspiracies lining up against me headed by Cousin Sal.
That's not like you, Dave.
So I wrote, just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean people aren't out to get me sometimes. Now listen, so I wrote down Sal in response to this. I didn't want to get a better him than me. So I wrote down Sal. I was one of four people who voted Sal, and as it turned out, he got kicked out of the league. He was wounded by this, especially by me, because I've known him for a long time now. So Velvel, as he calls me. Why would you do this? Velvel being Yiddish for William. Anyway, my first name. Anyhow, so he kicked me out. So we kicked him out of the league. He was hurt. He came back last year, won the thing. I knew that I was on the chopping block. On Tuesday night at our big annual draft, he said, I have the four names of the guys that voted me out 2 years ago. I'm going to take two names out and they'll have a competition to see who's out of the league. He took out two names. Neither was mine. One was Tall John. The other was the Dutch Mook. He then announced, Dutch Mook and Tall John, we're going to do a Survivor competition. They both had to walk across the room. A private room we had a bar in Hollywood with cups of lemonade atop their heads. Then when they got to a big table at the end of the room, they had to unfurl a thing that had puzzle pieces, like very survivory looking, jaggedy kind of pieces. And it was very exciting. It was neck and neck, and who's going to win, building the puzzles. It's Tall John, it's the Mook, it's Tall John, who's going to win? And finally they finished almost simultaneously, and then you stood back and looked at the puzzle and read, it said on there, Checkmate, see you in 2016, Dave.
And that's how I was kicked out of the league.
Wow.
That's great.
That no, hurt, it wasn't great at all.
Did you take it well?
I took it fine. You know what? As I
like a man?
As I guaranteed I would, I picked up my computer. I made way out the door without a word. But my chin held high. My dignity intact.
You'll get him. Ow. You'll get him next time.
Creep. All right. Now I want to put that ugliness behind.
At least you're in the Fantasy Live League where you took Andrew Luck third overall. Third overall.
All right, let's get to the confidence. Well, that's right, I did take Andrew Luck. I'm a man of my word. I told you all season, off season long, Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers are way better than all the other QBs in fantasy. Now, confidence pool, let's get into it here. If you don't know confidence pool, this is picking all the games and attaching a number to each team based on how confident you are that they're going to win. As you can see there, Packers at Chicago, I think that they're going to make quick work of Jay Cutler without very many weapons in that offense, so I think that that's a good safe one to make your 15. Also, if you are doing an eliminator pool, the Packers are a reasonably good choice here. Speaking of which, Black Tie Behind the Glass, lay it on us. We have the Dave Damashek Football Program League lined up and ready to go. We request, nay, demand that you, the listener slash viewer, join us in this. It's a season-long thing. Get in there now. Get in there ASAP. We will give you a prize at the end of the year, too. We'll just figure out what it's going
to be. NFL.com/survivor.
NFL.com/survivor is the survivor
pool. That's how you get there. And then
for the picks pool, NFL.com/pick'em. And then you search for the group DDFP?
Yep.
You search for the group Dave Damashek Football Program. That's what you do.
Dave Damashek Football
Program. Are we in there?
Yes, William.
Yes, you're in there. You haven't made your picks yet?
You have to join.
I need to make my picks.
Get your picks in, boy.
I will.
Football Baby is also, his picks will also be featured as a part of that group this year. So be on the lookout for that. Good luck coming in second place because you ain't going to beat him. All right, so next up, let's get back to the confidence picks here. Titans and Bucks, I find to be an intriguing game. Obviously, it's Mariota versus Jameis. I'm going with the Bucks because, as I've always said, I believe in Jameis Winston more than I do Mariota. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. Hope so for those Tennessee fans, although I don't know that their team even exists as still. But anyway.
You haven't met a Tennessee fan.
No, indeed. But I do think that the Titans, I do think that the Bucks are going to win that one in Tampa. Big debut for Jameis. A few touchdown passes for him. The Bengals at number 11 are going into the East Bay. I struggled with this one. Week one, people who pick games and are very definitive about it, I don't find that loco. We never know season to season how these teams are going to be most of the time. I could see the Bengals losing that one to Derek Carr and Amari Cooper. I like the Chiefs narrowly over the Texans. You see the Jets, I don't know, that's a coin flip playing the Browns. The Panthers, I like them. I don't love them this week. And so there you go. They're the numbers I'm assigning. And follow those at your own peril. I do think week two and going ahead, I'll zero in. You know, but I need to see some information.
Yeah.
Before. As I've said many times, that August was a lie. You can't watch the preseason games and glean anything from it. I have to see actual football games that mean
something. But this is where those kind of survivor leagues and the pick'em leagues are actually won, because if you can get them right in week one, two, three, where you don't know a whole lot about the team, then you roll through the season.
Well, tell us the one, and before we begin the Red Challenge Flag segment for the season, and by the way, before we get to Willie McGinnis, who we're going to talk to, I'm going to ask him. I know I'm not looking forward to it, but I want to get his thoughts on this whole Patriots, the Spygate, the Flategate, all that stuff. And Nate Burleson will be in here for a little players segment here. Nate is going to be catching passes from Dave Damashek against Ike Taylor. I think I can throw a touchdown pass to an NFL wide receiver against an NFL cornerback. So we'll discuss those things in a little bit. But Handsome, you're taking the Raiders?
I'm taking the Raiders. Look, you said I think the Bengals are one of your top five. I think the Raiders in Oakland, they're going to spring a little surprise for us. I think they're going to.
Wouldn't be surprised. Wouldn't be surprised.
That's gutsy. I thought of all the picks on there, the toughest one is the Chiefs Texans.
Hey, yeah. Black Tie just said in my ear, let's get some energy. The show's a little flat.
It's week one.
Come on. What do you want from us?
What am I supposed to do? Black Tie, I'm over the moon.
We're playing here on Thursday. My team, Manchester United, playing this weekend against Liverpool. You
know, okay, can someone shut his mic off?
Yes. We need some energy. There we go.
I got plenty of energy. What are you talking about?
Fine.
I get energy.
There we go.
You know what I'm excited about? The game I'm most looking forward to, in fact, we should have made it a Red Challenge Flag game, is the AFC playoff preview, the Texans and the Chiefs. Yes,
it's the toughest one to
pick. At the 11th hour, because I had said, well, I'm off the Texans bandwagon now without Ryan Mallett in there and certainly without Aaron Foster. But now the news, Aaron Foster's ready to roll sooner rather than later, 3 weeks or so. He'll be back out there. They're going to beat the Indianapolis Colts. Hear me now, believe me later.
But they're playing the Chiefs.
Who have you picked in this game?
I'm taking the Chiefs because they're not going to have Arian Foster.
Right.
So I'm going to, but let them get a couple games with Jadeveon Clowney. And, well, yeah, of course.
Now, wait a minute. No, when we did our top 10 quarterbacks heading into 2015, I put Alex Smith number 10. You were not pleased with that pick at all. So you've got to have some faith in the guy if you think the Chiefs are going to
win the
Super Bowl.
I've never poo-pooed Alex Smith. I mean, listen, what have I said consistently? He had the 49ers in the Super Bowl. If Kyle Williams hadn't fumbled twice, they win that game and they go to the Super Bowl. And it's a completely different history for that team and for Colin Kaepernick. And by the way, that sounds like a what if. An NFL, there's a new one for you to look at. Look it up on NFL.com.
If you think that Alex Smith is only capable of being a game manager, which he's the guy that's like associated with that term, then you didn't see the Colts wild card game a couple years ago.
I'm fine. Listen, I have no beef with Alex Smith. That's, you know, he now finally has a legitimate pass catcher in Jeremy Maclin, so let's see what he can
do. I'd say between Smith, Jamal Charles, and Justin Houston, you might have the three most underrated players at their positions in the entire NFL.
Boy, interesting. And, you know, by the way, part of the reason that I really like this team is they're going to be able to rally around Eric Berry. You know, those stories sound like, you know, so much fluff. How's that going to impact anything? I think, how many times do you have to hear teams, no one outside this locker room thought we could get it done, and the Patriots are challenged, and now they have a chip on their shoulder. Well, similarly, I think the Chiefs are going to rally around the feel-good story of Eric Berry, and that will propel them to have
speaking of, who hammered the Patriots the worst last year? The Super Bowl champ, Kansas City.
Kansas City Chiefs.
That's right. They're loaded on defense, loaded on offense, too, if they can just protect Alex Smith a little bit there. All right, so let's get to it, fellas. At long last, we've made it through 6 months. At last, it is time for the return of the Red Challenge Flag Pick segment.
Red Challenge Flag picks. Bring some energy.
There's the energy, Black Tie, you know, desire.
Shall I bring some more energy? I'll show you something which will bring energy to the entire room. Black Tie, not known for producing normally, has produced some Red Challenge Flags. If you're watching this, you can. Exactly.
Is this a table napkin?
I can throw this.
He steals this from like P.F. Chang's.
Let me pull the curtain back a little bit. That was actually Will Powell, one of our producers on the podcast team, who made these out of like pillowcases.
So he went to P.F. Chang's and took these.
No, he went to Bed Bath and Beyond.
Yeah.
Just like every NFL head coach
has to. Can I see one of those?
You can touch, but I have it back again.
Yeah, of course you will. It's not really like a red flag, red challenge flag.
So let's
red
not ghosty. Point out the
it's like a little, red ghosty.
It's a little red
let's
ghost.
Let's not point out the deficiencies. The red challenge ghost.
All right, there he is. The red challenge ghost.
Why do we have three apiece?
Well, who knows? We didn't throw three all last season.
It's like a
pretty simple rules. I'm going to ask one to pick the game. If the other disagrees, he can throw his red challenge flag and tell why the original picker is wrong on that one. And we started off with... Ooh, this is a tough game right out of the gate.
I'm ready.
The Colts at the Bills. Handsome, I start with you.
I'm going to pick the Indianapolis Colts.
You know, Shaq, I'd love to start off our first segment of the year with a nice heave, but I agree. I think the Colts are going to win in Buffalo.
Can't you disagree just at the start of the year?
I think the Bills are going to come out a little rusty with Tyrod Taylor. I don't think they're going to be able to keep up. I'm sorry.
I agree.
Rusty.
I think
played before. He's going to be rusty from what?
Rusty from not playing real first team defenses. There you go.
I mean, but that said, I think that this Colts offense, which everyone's expecting to be a juggernaut, is going to hit a Bills defense that is also pretty much immovable. So it's not going to be a blowout by any.
It depends what you expect from the Bills offense, but I mean, accounting for how they're going to deploy Percy Harvin and Sammy Watkins.
Each of those weapons is injured already. It's week one of the season. Mm-hmm. Percy Harvin has a problem. Sammy Watkins has a problem. LeSean McCoy has a problem. These are guys you'd want at full strength in week one, and you're going to want at full strength throughout the season.
Did I just see Trent Richardson B-roll there for a second?
Maybe you did.
Wow.
I think I did.
Might be a little outdated.
You know what? I'll say this, Shaq. You look at the Colts line. It's a mismatch. everywhere on that line. Every guy in the Bills front seven is a mismatch for the Colts. So it does make me worry about them, but Andrew Luck is a very mobile quarterback, so at this stage of the game, I'll still take Indy.
I'm going to go with the Colts as well, but I think I'm rooting for Rex Ryan. I'm rooting for the people of Buffalo, as I always say, as a resident, as our resident Steelers fan here. Of course, that's the team I want to see win the Super Bowl. But if that can't happen, I would like to see the good people of Buffalo finally get their Lombardi trophy.
I think
that's the fan base I root for.
I disagree.
Oh. Yeah, I guess so. You're a Miami Dolphins fan after all.
Those will be good games, Miami-Buffalo this year.
Let's talk an NFC tilt here. The New Orleans Saints at the Arizona Cardinals. Elliot Harrison.
By the way, I love the use of the word tilt. Nobody uses that
tilt
anymore.
It's a good one.
That is a great one.
All right, I'm going to use it every week now.
Please do. I am going to take the Cardinals defense at home against the Saints.
All right, handsome hand. He had to work in a little bit of info there. He couldn't just say which team he was picking. But okay, go ahead, Ansem.
I'm going to have to put that
away. Boo! He plays games with my heart.
At the beginning of the season, week one, we don't know very much about the teams. One of the things I have to do is say, all right, we've got a team that's going away, going across the country to go and play Arizona. I don't see the Saints doing it. I don't feel particularly strong about this pick, but I think the Cardinals will win it. I'm excited about seeing Carson Palmer come back again and against that Saints defense.
What team could possibly have worse luck than the Cardinals did last year? I mean, it was horrible for them. They remind me, remember the year the Packers won the Super Bowl and everybody went down? That's the way it was for Arizona, but Aaron Rodgers didn't go down that year. They lost their quarterback, Arizona, I'm speaking.
Ryan Lindley couldn't quite do it.
He couldn't.
So far, not too much heat because, by the way, what an ugly uniform matchup this is. Two shades of red, no good.
I agree.
The Cardinals, the thing people keep forgetting about, Carson Palmer's back, is he's Carson Palmer. It's not Aaron Rodgers coming back. It's fine. He's fine. He's better than Ryan Lindley, yes.
Better than Drew Stanton, too.
Yes, but let's not act as though Carson Palmer is the missing link to this team winning the Super Bowl.
Okay. He's the second best quarterback in his division. Russell Wilson, Carson Palmer, Colin Kaepernick.
I think if I had a choice for just one, I'm not talking for 5 years even. I think I would take Kaepernick for one.
Really?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Nick Foles.
Yeah.
I really did.
No. You know what, though? To that point, I might put Carson Palmer fourth in the division.
Really?
I can't do that.
No, I guess I would put Palmer ahead of Foles, but I would put Kaepernick ahead of ahead of Carson
Palmer. That's all you.
All right, next up, let's get to it. We talk about Russell Wilson and Nick Foles. They're playing one another in St. Louis. Is this the first game of the last year in St. Louis for these Rams? Either way, handsome Hank. Hawks, Rams, how
Hawks.
Say you?
Hawks.
Hawks.
You know, Hank, I love your football opinion, and I hate doing this, but once again, I see eye to eye with you.
This is the worst segment. The whole point is for there to be heat. Nice. Don't you understand?
I will throw
Emma behind the glass
it.
is a Syracuse graduate who loves television and movies. This was her focus in school, and I'm certain that Emma can tell you that the key to all drama, to all storytelling, is conflict. Yes, Emma?
Absolutely correct.
Every scene has to have conflict in it, and you two may as well hold hands. Well,
hey, Black Tie, why don't you yell at her for energy after you yelled at us? Why don't you holler at her?
Let's get some conflict going between us and Dave, then.
Wow.
If that's what you want.
Who would
you pick in that game?
I'm going to take the Seattle.
Good job,
all right,
Emma.
So good job you. You agreed with us, too. Come around here, sing Kumbaya with us.
I'm not the one tasked with butting heads, you see?
Okay, well, let's try another one.
I'm just judging. I'm going to take the Seahawks. I think that it's going to be, at least for 1 week, I feel that the Jimmy Graham experience is going to be...
I see what you did.
I don't necessarily think he has a big game. I think that he will provide a distraction, something new to contend with for that great defense. And they'll ultimately just lean on Marshawn Lynch. I predict that he gets about 15 or 18 carries and will near 100 yards there. And even though they don't have Cam Chancellor, they do have most of those defensive pieces back. Nick Foles. You know who I am? Circle this name, though. Tavon Austin. I think this is the year that, really? He finally
I think a lot of people
going.
Think that. I'd be surprised
I think
if
it's
that
year
happens.
8 for him.
I think, yeah. I don't know. I think Nick Foles might be. Do you remember when you were a kid? Was there ever something you really wanted to get? It was like a, you know, a toy, a new thing that you wanted to get. And then when you got it home, you were like, that would look much better when it was in the box and when I thought about it and actually when I got it home.
Yes.
I have a feeling Nick
mine
Foles.
Was,
Nick,
mine was a girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had the...
But,
it,
but I was... I,
you
I,
bought a girl.
I didn't buy one.
Right.
But when I did finally get one, that was not my reaction.
Okay.
Yeah, I got the Transformer with the one
right,
that had,
exactly.
the, had the tape cassette.
More than,
you remember that
yeah,
one?
Yeah,
I remember what his name
yeah,
was.
Like
Rewind
cassette,
or something?
Cassette-a-tron or something.
Right, and it turned into a little yeah. bird. But after yeah. I turned into a bird
right,
a few
like,
times,
now
I didn't,
what?
Didn't know what to do. So
exactly.
I kept playing
that's
my
exactly
band.
The kind of thing. I think Nick Foles might be like Cassette-a-tron. When you get it, you're like, oh, this is exciting. We've got a new corner. But then when you get in there, you're like, eh. That's not that cool.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. But maybe, like I say, maybe if those, if that gaggle of receivers... The other thing is, too, they're biding their time until Todd Gurley comes back.
Well, they're biding their time until maybe they move elsewhere.
Has yeah, Transformers 7 come out yet? What are they on?
I don't know, but I had an Evel Knievel thing. I had one of those things that on his motorcycle, you pull the cord thing and
right.
Evel Knievel
oh,
could
yeah,
make
cool.
jumps. It was
yeah.
awesome.
That is pretty cool.
I'm very old. all right, next game is the Detroit Lions... And the San Diego Chargers, Damashek, picking the Detroit Lions to win the NFC North this year. Mm. Everybody caught up in Aaron Rodgers and
these guts.
And here come the Vikings and everything else, but it's the Lions that are going to take the division. Elliot Harrison in week one in San Diego. Maybe they're making their first game of their last season in their current city. How say you?
The Lions falter.
Falter.
Yes.
Yes. You're not going to like this, Dave, but I've got the Chargers as well. I think, I mean, same theory as you had before. The Lions going to the West Coast to play the Chargers in week one. Yeah. This is a home team. I'm sorry. I'd love to say something different.
And
Dave.
That guy's a big reason why. I love
Danny Woodhead.
Danny Woodhead's going to be a fantasy
people
stud this year.
People have written off Melvin Gordon as well after the preseason.
I know.
I think that's bizarre. I think Melvin Gordon's going to be just fine.
Remember, August is a lie.
Right.
You didn't see anything that is relevant to the regular season.
Like
the wise sages of the Around the NFL podcast I listen to have complete... Melvin Gordon, he's done. He hasn't played in the NFL yet. What are you talking about?
They also challenge me all the time. Why are you so high on this guy who's never done anything in the NFL? Because I watch college football. That's why. Right. I'm extrapolating what I think Ryan Mallett might do. Why do I like Ryan Mallett? Yeah, I know he hasn't done anything in the NFL, but he was terrific at Arkansas against high-end SEC defenses. That is why I hypothesize that he's better than Brian
Hoyer. What about Melvin Gordon? You know, the book on Wisconsin running backs, is it true? Do you buy into that?
No, I'm not going to buy into that, although they are, you know, helped usually by those great offenses.
But he
lines.
Seems like a different size type of running back than the rest of the Wisconsin running backs.
Yeah, I like his speed. I think he'll be just fine in that offense. My pick, though, I'm going to say I picked the Lions to win the division. They have to get off on the right foot here. Let's say the Lions get it
right
done
paw.
There.
Do you want, if you want to, if it, just for entertainment value, throw
give
that
me
at,
two.
Throw it at us.
Yeah, you guys don't use them.
How?
The yeah, thank you. The
I think he hit your
here.
Thrust.
Hear me now again.
Yep.
This is it. Matt Stafford, Calvin Johnson, magical year for that tandem.
Right.
That's it, and the defense is going to be very good. Next up,
thanks,
the Ravens, the Broncos, the rematch from the now departed Raheem Moore game, where Raheem Moore, it wasn't Peyton's fault they lost that game. It was Raheem Moore's, even though one was making. About $150,000, and the other guy was making $20 million. Completely even. You can't separate who is more important in the outcome of a football game. Anyway, Ravens at the Broncos. Elliot Harrison. Handsome Hank, how say you? I'm trying to make sure I keep it right. Maybe keeping you on your toes like this will change the...
Ravens.
Oh, okay. All right. I know... Elliot
Ravens
Harrison.
Win the game?
Elliot
Ravens
Harrison is definitely...
I thought for sure you were going to go
way,
Ravens.
By the way,
lose the game.
I picked the Ravens to get to the Super Bowl. Like Dave picked the Chiefs.
Yeah?
I picked the Ravens to get to the Super Bowl.
Oh, Dave, I hate to do this to you, but I am just...
Yeah! We did it! Da, 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 da. Football season's
Come
here!
Come on! How about Denver's defense? You, I mean, yeah, who's Joe Flacco going to throw the ball to?
Well, we're going to find out on Sunday.
Yeah, we're going to find out. Marlon Brown.
Steve Smith's a guy I've seen do stuff before.
3 catches for 22 yards.
Everybody's cracking wise about, like, oh, that Browns-Jets game could be 6-3. You know what other game could be 6-3? This one.
You bet. Yeah. You bet, man.
Great Denver defense.
Yes.
Very good Ravens defense against we don't know what. Peyton.
Did you see Von Miller against Seattle in the preseason? It was awesome. And I love Wade Phillips, the old equation. DJ and I used to talk about this. Backers on backs equals sacks. You're going to see that in Denver this year. And you know what? Manning may not have a good year. This team could still win 10 games because of the defense.
Absolutely. Yep.
I just don't trust Baltimore's offense. However, I'm saying it right now. Ain't no way Justin Forsett was a one-year flash in the pan. I think he's going to be just as good this year.
Exactly.
Well, that offensive line is terrific. That's the key, as I've said a bunch of times. Ozzie Smith is that MVP. He's the Jenga piece for the Baltimore Ravens. If you take him away, that's what would cause that team to blow.
I agree. If Michael Robinson says Tom Cable is the MVP of the Seahawks, and Ozzie Newsome certainly
He keeps them tough on both lines of scrimmage forever. The Broncos, conversely, have some serious questions on that.
So settle this.
Right, and the Ravens defense has the pieces as well to get the pressure on
all that said, I'm going to take the Broncos at home.
That's right.
I just think
I need a jingle at the top of the show.
The Broncos are going to be an issue. You know, Bucky Brooks, our pal, says that he questions how rugged they're going to be stopping the run. But if the Broncos get a lead and they can start letting loose their pass rush, I mean, Shane Ray joining DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller, what's going to be the answer from anybody to that? Well, how are you going to stop those three guys coming after you?
Especially when they have corners that can hold coverage.
Yeah.
Denver's defense, I think, legit top five this year.
All right. And, 2 more games to go here before we get to Nate Burleson and Willie McGinnis. It's the Giants at the Cowboys. Black Tie chose this game over the Texans and Chiefs because, as he calls it, it's a sexier game. You know, he likes
it
games
is.
That
he
are
loves
sexy.
It's sexy.
This is where Odell Beckham made a name for himself. This fixture last year.
That's all you focus on in this game?
I'm excited for United versus Liverpool. And
what does that even mean?
Can someone take the microphone away from Black Tie?
Give it back to Emma.
We're getting closer and closer to Emma taking over full time
Emma
on that
all,
mic.
All time.
All right, Elliot Harrison, this game. How say you?
Dallas 1-0 at home. I don't know what that means. That means they win.
I don't need that. Sorry, Dave. I agree. I think the Cowboys win this one as well. The Giants, we talked about it in our season preview. I think the Giants might be really, really stinky on defense. And I think the Cowboys are going to put up a lot of points on Sunday night. Prime time.
That team made that second half charge last year, did the Giants. But JPP had a really good season last year. He's not even going to be out there. What he's going to be when they come back. It's got to be a little bit of a gut punch almost
amazing.
To be like, oh, the defense to be like, we just got to hold on till JPP. Oh, wait, he's not going to be back for another month. Oh.
If you think about that defense when it was winning Super Bowls, you know, you had Strahan and OC and Tuck and all these guys, you know, it just seemed to be like an endless line. They could just bring people in there. I mean, now it's an empty cupboard. There's nothing.
And they don't have the secondary to compensate.
Exactly.
I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys here. For the reason you say,
right.
What are you going to do? How are they going to stop Dez Bryant getting off there? It'll be interesting to see how the running back situation shakes out there, though. Kristen Michael, by October, will take over that position.
I'm not with you there, but I'll tell you, I think that's going to have a nice year for Dallas is Terrence Williams. I just don't feel like people talk about him very much. I see 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns for him this year.
I haven't really heard anyone talk about him since you last were on the podcast and talked about that.
I just think he's gonna have a nice season for him, and I'm really excited for Sean Lee to finally have a healthy season. I'm
fingers crossed on that one.
Yeah, I know. Don't jinx him, fella. Last game in the Red Challenge Flag segment in week 1, Eagles, Falcons.
Bird strike.
That's right. Elliot Harrison, is it your turn or is it Handsome's?
I thought you were trying to throw us off.
I don't remember. You decide.
Oh, he took the Cowboys, so it's your turn here.
I'm going to take the Eagles.
Eagles in the dome. How say you, Elliot Harrison?
You know, Hank, I want you to know something. Mm-hmm. I rarely agree with you, rarely.
Yeah.
But I think Philadelphia is going to win in Atlanta on Monday Night Football. I do. Look, the Falcons defense, what are they going to do? Okay, whoever's going up against the Eagles left tackle is going to get shut out. Okay, they don't have the pass rushers to get after Philadelphia. And if Philadelphia has any trouble throwing the ball, okay, you got DeMarco Murray, he gets tired, fine, bring in Ryan Matthews. At least they're healthy for week 1. We know that much. I think this is going to be a mismatch for the Falcons' D.
I know this is just 60 minutes. This isn't the entire season. But like I said on our podcast earlier in the week, just because Gus Bradley didn't immediately go to Jacksonville and turn that team around doesn't mean that Dan Quinn can't do that with Atlanta.
I don't know why anyone would assume that. That would be the case.
Well, I think people. I think people have tempered.
Linked. Of course, they're linked, but I don't know that that would be.
But they both come out of that Seattle defense, and so that's what people point to that and think. So if Gus Bradley had gone down to Jacksonville, Dan Quinn would be, oh, this team's going to win the division easily. But because Gus Bradley has started a little slowly, I think people pumped the brakes a little bit.
But Quinn has.
But of course, the Falcons have way more than what the Jags had when Bradley arrived.
Quinn
down
on offense has more than Bradley has been able to assemble in three seasons.
You know what? I think nothing speaks more to the proliferation of the fantasy football than the Foles Bradford trade. Because wouldn't you agree, on paper, Rams defense clearly better than the Eagles?
Sure.
Okay, these quarterbacks are traded one for one, right? So the Rams actually should have a better shot with Nick Foles, but I bet you Sam Bradford got 100 times, no exaggeration, 100 times more coverage in the preseason than Nick Foles did from the media. Yet these quarterbacks were traded straight up. Mm-hmm. But nobody talks about Nick Foles.
I mean, I would say that has to do with Chip Kelly.
Right, but it's still weird, is it not? Is Philly clearly better than St. Louis?
I think also people wanted to see Sam Bradford. But, you know, Sam Bradford's basically a question mark to a lot of people because he's been injured for the last, essentially, 2 years.
So here's the thing. What I said, I think, to you the other day was, for all the talk about DeMarco Murray and Sam Bradford, Ryan Matthews, and so on, the other addition, not just Luke Kuechly, but I think that defense is the best in that division. I think the Eagles' defense is why the Eagles are going to win the division.
I'm okay with that, but throwing the stats out of it, let's just talk about being a good quarterback and winning games. Who has the better season, Bradford or Foles?
Bradford.
Is that clear to you?
Yeah.
I mean, if he stays healthy.
I don't think it's so much. And that's not about Sam Bradford. If you just said they're both in a made-up imaginary offense, the same one, then I think probably they're about as talented as each other. But we've seen anyone who goes in Chip Kelly's system is going to throw for a ton of yards. I mean, like maybe
statistically,
he's going to have a way better season.
I'm just wondering if we're all underestimating Nick Foles a little bit. I mean, 2 years ago when he put up the, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, people were all over the guy. Last year, he played hurt. He played through injury. He had a deep contusion on his shoulder. Like, he had some problems, and he tried to play through.
It'll be very interesting. I look forward to watching him take the field in Los Angeles 1 year from now. In the meantime, I will take the Atlanta Falcons in the dome to get off on the right foot. There's that pick. Handsome Hank, Elliot Harrison. Follow him on Twitter. Do all the jazz that way. Fellas, good job. And we have now, 19 more weeks to go of the Red Challenge Flag segment.
Let's hold on to them. I've still got
hit
two.
Hit the bricks, though, fellas, because here they come. It's time for players only, plus me, coming in, Willie McGinnis and Nate Burleson.
Dave, dee-da-da-da-da-da-don't, Dave.
Clearly is an auspicious occasion. Football is back, and joining us to kibitz about it, two legends here around NFL media, nay, the football universe. First of all, our old pal here, who's one day going to catch a touchdown pass from Dave Damashek's left arm. We'll talk about that in a minute. Nate Burleson, what's the poop with you, fella?
I'm just chilling, man. Glad to be here.
A pleasure to see
you. I know
you're
excited about that, catching a pass.
And we're going up against Ike Taylor. We'll get to the details, because we got to get your opinion on it.
Let's say hi to this guy also. A guy who just got his red jacket from the New England Patriots, and as I tweeted, just an hors d'oeuvre to getting a gold one of those at some point soon. Looking forward to that. Willie McGinnis, what's the poop with you, man?
I'm here hanging out with you, Dave. What's going on?
Nothing. Well, like I say, mazel tov on getting the red jacket. That's
a start.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Why, though, do the New England Patriots, named after the U.S. Revolutionary soldiers, would they give out a red coat? We defeated the Redcoats in the Revolutionary War.
Well, you can't give out a gold jacket, right? So what is it going to be, a white or a blue or a red?
I don't know.
Well, that's part of the question. I mean, that's our colors. Red, it's like a gray.
So go blue!
There's a gray, there's a dark blue, and there's a red.
Well, you know my feelings. They should just go back to Pat Patriot snapping the ball instead of...
I like that, too. That's the old
flying
school.
Elvis.
But guess what? I'm not the boss over there. The boss calls the shots. So.
Shaq, can I jump in here real quick? Because me and Willie, we don't get too much time to talk. When we're on TV, it's business as usual. But I got a question, bro, and this is just me being a guy who's a fan.
Right.
I played some years in the league and had some good times, but when you first got in the league, was that your goal? Was that your goal to, like, go down in Hall of Fame and then possibly Hall of Fame?
No,
was that in the back of your head at all?
No, nothing that had to do with individualism or individual success. It was about winning a championship. You know, I played the sport to win Lombardis and win Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So I look at all the accolades and everything that's come with that, whether it's Pro Bowls and all the other stuff, it's just icing on the cake. My goal was to win a Super Bowl. I mean, I think that's what all young kids want to do when you get in the NFL.
But then there's a point where you realize, like when I was a junior in college, I know this is two completely different things. There was a point in my season where I realized, damn, I could make it to the league. Like,
yeah, I was the same way. I didn't think about the draft.
When did it click in your head where, and I'm possibly going to go down as one of the more legendary Patriots or possibly Hall of Fame NFL.
Well, when my name started popping up on those ballots and people started nominating me, you know, for that, that's what I really started.
You know what? It is interesting. And by the way, Nate, you don't have to, ask if it's okay to ask questions. I want you guys.
I think about that stuff when I kick it with him because, you know, how many times I get a chance to ask those questions.
I love it. That's what I want to do with, Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew, you, Michael Robinson, Willie Heath, everybody else. Pretend like I'm not even here if you have a question.
We do that all the time, Dave. When we see you in the calf, when we see you in the green room, we just pretend you're not even there.
He says hi, and we just walk by.
Yeah.
Who was that? He work here?
Yeah. Who was the guy with the beard? Oh, that's Dave.
Word search, fellas. Hey, Willie, real quick, before I want to, whatever you want to talk about, but I got to ask you, it's uncomfortable for me to ask, all this stuff that's coming out this week with the Patriots, anything, my thing is, this is bad news for the rest of the NFL. We saw what happened last time, the Patriots played with a chip on their shoulder. But
it's always something. And, the thing from a player point of view that, I always say if we knew the answers to the test, it would have been 5 Super Bowls and not 3. All the hard work that went into what we accomplished, the individual battles that we had on the field and out executing, out hitting, out smarting teams. It just takes the stuff that's going on now kind of takes away. It had nothing to do with players. That was more of a team thing, I guess, all the information I was found. I was gone, right? And that team in 2007, after all the things that happened with Spygate, went undefeated up until the Super Bowl. So, I mean, you can look at it a bunch of different ways. Far as a player, I know what I put into to doing my part and the other guys who I played with. And nobody ever came in and handed us sheets or boards saying, this is all the plays that we're going to see today. We got this from the team we're facing. And then that never occurred.
Do you think, both of you guys, do you feel like on some level someone's out to get the Patriots?
Well, first of all, let me say, you just made a comment. And I thought you was about to lose your cool because you said nobody handed us sheets. I'm like, okay.
Oh, no.
But that's the same way, too, however you want to phrase that. Nobody handed y'all nothing. Y'all went out and earned that. This is the way I look at it because I love sports, and I'm a historian of sports. And I remember when the Bulls were on top. No matter how good they were, the 82-10 season, when they just dominated the league, people still hated them. When the Lakers were on top, people still hated them. I remember Jay-Z saying, I know what it feels like to be a Laker. And I feel like that with the Patriots. Even though I never played for the New England Patriots, in the back of my mind, there was a little part of me that always wanted to get that call when I was a free agent. I knew that players hated on the Patriots. They hate on winners. When losers lose, they try to figure out all the reasons why they lose. And the first thing you do is point to the throne and say, I'm going to throw these rocks until it lands. Right. And then they're waiting for the Patriots to respond. So that's how I feel. And I'm not saying that because Willie's here. I'm just saying it because that's how I feel. People look at winners and they figure out a reason. Is there validity to it? Who knows? I'm not there.
But they got fined and they paid and they served whatever it was for Spygate, but still success that happened that year up until now. So what excuse are you going to make for all that? Like you can't keep making excuses. And you made a good point. You know, the one thing I learned from my father and certain coaches was, the only people that make a lot of excuses are the teams that are losing or players that are losing all the time. So I learned at a young age, never make excuses. When you lose, you lose. You got beat and try to get better next time. Figure out a way not to lose. Don't leave it in the ref's hands. All those cliche, all those things you've heard in football talk. And when somebody beat us, I never made excuses. Somebody dominated me a one-on-one matchup or beat me. I never made excuses. Be like, all right, you got me that one time. It's not going to happen again. I promise you that. You know, so.
You know, it's funny you say that, bro, because what was the undefeated year when Moss was there, right?
2007.
And everybody had them counted as winning it again. And, oh, man, the first undefeated team since Miami, they lost. And mum was the word. It was hushed when the New England Patriots lost.
No excuses.
No excuses, zero. It was almost like they internalized it, got angry, and was like, man, you know what? We're going to fix it. Whatever it was, we're going to fix it. We're not going to figure out what we need to fix in the process or the journey and try to point the finger. They just kept quiet. And it was almost like, damn, we just woke a sleeping giant up, you know?
Well, something that's even more relevant, the AFC Championship against Denver when Aqib Talib got hurt and all the players, all the receivers, everybody got hurt for the New England Patriots. Not once did you hear say, hey, because of all the injuries,
right?
We're not ready for this game or we don't have enough weapons for this game. No, they got prepared. They went out and played the game. And they lost. And that's all they said. Hey, Denver Broncos was a better team than we were today. Mm-hmm. They didn't talk about all the injuries, all the losses, none of that. Well, they did talk about the illegal hit by West. The illegal pick. That was it.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Listen, it's no fun to talk about that. It's football season. I like to talk about football.
Right.
So let's get into it. And Willie, since you're not up to speed on this, I contend that I could go from the 5-yard line, I could throw a touchdown pass to Nate Burleson with Ike Taylor covering him.
In the red zone, right?
That's right.
Okay, in the red zone. I'm thinking about from your 5-yard line, so that would have been.
I could do that, too.
No, wait.
Don't go too far, Dave.
So here's the setup. We're going to actually do this. We're going to get the cameras out there. He's on the 5, red zone, one-on-one, me and Ike. Now, I just say we got the advantage because, you know, I get to run the route I want to run. I'm looking at Ike's leverage. If he goes inside, I'm going to hit him 1-2-step. I'm going to go to the pylon.
You shouldn't give away the game plan.
Right, you're right, because he might center me up and put his hands on me.
See, that's now, is that gamemanship? If I'm listening to this podcast and I'm Ike.
If Ike hears it,
and
right.
He tells me what he's going to do, and I write that down and tell our players, is that cheating or gamesmanship?
Destroy this. I don't want Ike Taylor to find out about this.
That's just facts, saying. Though. That's facts. It's a good point.
Well, the thing,
and that's the one thing. If you was in our locker room, you would never do that. Don't ever tell them what you're going
to
do.
Which is the number one rule with the Patriots. Don't talk.
Ryan Shazier announces to the world, like, what we're going to do is jam Gronk at the line. Well, why would you
announce that? Why would you say that?
Why would you tell them?
Why did you?
We can't stop them any other way, so we're going to put our hands on them, try to disrupt them at the line of scrimmage.
Now you're telling them what they're going to do. They're going to put them in motion. They're going to move them off the ball. They're going
to
do
it. And what does that tell Gronk? I need to get lower at the line of scrimmage, get my hands up, ready to fight. I'm going to be more aggressive, more combative when I run my routes in the beginning of this game.
I'm just worried, though. The one thing for you, Nate, is I just want you to be prepared. I'm going to put that ball on.
Uh-oh.
You know? First of all. You just got to be ready. That thing's on. Fastball.
Little
know?
Lefty. Calm down, because that's your new nickname, Little Lefty, all right? But
not that little. I'm fat.
And here's the thing, though. He said, so he takes it a step further, because the conversation, you know how Shaq gets. He gets all geeked up, and the accent comes out.
If you're going to have a Pittsburgh, what quarterback from the Steelers jersey are you going
to
wear?
I haven't rendered it. I might go Tebow to get inside Taylor's head. That's how
you
get
in. No, but listen, he took it a step further and said, all right, so this is what I can do against the worst defense in the NFL. I can start a drive on the 20 or 30, take them all the way down and score a touchdown.
That's what I can do, Willie.
You got to get the snap, bro. Like,
give me the Dallas Cowboys offensive line. I'll hand the ball to Kristen Michael.
I'm looking to see if they're pumping a certain kind of gas in this room.
Hand-off screen passes.
I was looking to see if pigs were flying.
Yeah, like
I'm not crazy. I'm not throwing the ball every play. I'm going to hand it off screen passes. But then at one point
screen
I go.
Passes all
and
short. One,
but still, he's still got a winning drive. You can't.
Against the NFL defense.
Hey,
NFL
defense, the worst. This is the one. That's what I'll do. I'm just gonna give him the win. I'm gonna go to Dez. This is it. I go up top to Dez.
Randall Cunningham, the little smile on the line.
He said in the huddle, he's gonna call the play and go like this. Hey Dez, this is the one. So you're gonna tell the other three receivers, hey, decoy, Dez, I'm throwing it to
that'll
you.
That'll work.
Nobody does that in
the NFL. That's not good. That's not a good look.
I told you y'all be a little more subtle. Y'all get in the huddle, call the play, throw your favorite receiver wink like, bro, I got you. Like,
right. That's not a good look. Because everybody's always open.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see how it goes. First, I'll throw the touchdown pass to you. Then maybe the Cowboys will let me go under center against the NFL's worst defense, and I'll show the world. Cowboys. All you doubters are feeling bad.
I noticed you picked the Cowboys because of that offensive line.
Oh, you know what? I'm a lot like Brady and Peyton. You got to keep me clean. I'm not Russell Wilson. Right.
Is there any scramble involved in this?
No, he's behind the Dallas Cowboys line. He doesn't have to scramble. Nobody's going to touch him.
If I need to scramble.
What was that?
I saw what it is. That's all I can show you.
Is that like Harlem Shake?
Wow. That's all I'm going to show you.
I didn't know you had that in you.
Hey,
anyway,
we talked about this before, Nate. Let's do it. Super Bowl champion a few times over now. Something you and I started talking about 2 months ago. Let's decide, myth or reality, what do you need to have to win a Super Bowl? Not get to the playoffs.
Reality,
what does a team need to have? Elite QB.
You don't have to be elite, but you have to be a good quarterback that makes good decisions that take care of the football.
Yeah, I agree with that because Flacco snuck through there. He had that.
He had a mediocre season, but he had an elite playoff run.
Okay.
Dilfer, so, go ahead, throw Dilfer in there.
Well, I almost feel like that's a different era, even
Brad
though it was
Johnson,
only a few years ago. I know it was a handful
Brad Johnson.
Years. The game's changed quite a bit
it
since
has.
Then. Yeah. And I feel like since the 21st century.
Was Russell Wilson? Okay, is Russell Wilson an elite quarterback?
You either have to have, like you say, a guy who doesn't turn the ball over and a dynamite defense, or you have to have a QB who can just carry you through the tough spots. And the numbers will bear that out. Brady, Roethlisberger, Rodgers, Peyton,
Breeze.
Russell Wilson.
What about Indianapolis? You said Peyton with that Indianapolis team?
Yeah, but those guys, those are the
teams. That wasn't a great defense, though.
No. So at least you have the great QB to offset
the receivers and the weapons.
But I think you need a good QB, decision maker, efficient guy. But I think you also need one skill player. It could be a tight end. It could be a wide receiver, running back. It could be Marshawn Lynch.
You need more than one.
Patriots?
You need more than one.
Last year?
Yeah.
But offensively?
Yep.
Name their – I'm talking about one dominant skill player.
Dominant. Edelman was played out of his mind. Could have been an MVP. Gronk is dominant. Vereen went crazy.
Yeah, okay. But Vereen and Edelman wouldn't do that, I don't think, on
why
the
Why not? They
Browns.
Did it.
Are we talking the journey or the Super Bowl game? We talking the journey there or the Super Bowl game?
They did
You talking about team? I'm just saying
– Well, here's the thing.
You got to have one consistent guy who's just a ultimate
But
threat.
Here's the thing. Depending on who you play, the game plan is going to change. So when they played Baltimore, it wasn't a running game. It was a pass game. We're going to open you up and pass because their defense was stopping the run and pretty tough up front. When it was Indy – We're going to get 230 yards on you, whatever that number was. We're going to pound you on the ground game because we don't think you could stop it, and we're going to have fewer passes, and we're going to go big or whatever the case may be. In the Super Bowl, it was a mixture of both, yeah. But then when Simon and Lane went down, it's like, we're going to take advantage, we're going to spread you out, and we're going to dink and dunk and get down the field.
That's all facts, Willie, but the constant every game was Gronk. Which means you got to have one guy who's
I think you take Gronk
like,
away, that offense struggles.
Just like you take Marshawn away.
We didn't have a Gronk when we won our Super Bowl, our three Super Bowls.
But the defense was way
better.
Yeah, but
we, did, we had David Givens. We had Deion Branch. Mm-hmm. We had Troy Brown. Not to take anything away from them.
No.
We had a solid tight end, a good blocking tight end.
That made you guys have Jermaine? Was Jermaine there?
Jermaine was
Wiggins. He was just the guy that was there running routes.
Dan was another one. Like, Watson was on the team, a pup. He wasn't a starter. But I'm just saying, there was no...
Gronk.
There was no just Randy Moss. When Randy Moss and Wes came to the Patriots, they went undefeated, but they didn't win the Super Bowl.
But the Patriots last year and the Seahawks of the last couple of years have not had that high-end pass catcher, so that's something we can scratch out. You don't have to have that.
That's what we have to stop doing, because if you don't come into the league that high-end pass catcher, but you can develop into that. So that's why Doug Baldwin and Kearse and all those guys get so fired up, because we say, okay, you guys didn't start off a Calvin Johnson or Dez Bryant or whatever.
Right.
But if you watch the course of their career the last 3 years, these guys have become pretty much household names because a lot of people say what they're not and what they can't be.
Mm.
But they make big catches. Look in the NFC Championship game. Wilson sat in the pocket and delivered a strike to a not high-end guy who you're talking about to win the football game after all, with the game on the line against one of their better cornerbacks. And these guys have an opportunity to make their name through what they do on the field. A lot of times we keep going on with that theme, but
of marquee name.
We had three Super Bowls, and at first they were saying, oh, the first one, they talked about all the high-end names on the other side. All that did was fuel the machine over here with us. You know, we had a guy who was stepping in for Drew, a sixth-round draft choice. You can't tell me who the running back was. You know, we had some players on defense, and our defense was our foundation and our staple, but nobody would jump out there and say, oh, they just got this dynamic player. He's the best. Nobody was talking that. It was like, we're going to get blew out. You're going to be down 30.
It was Antoine Smith.
You're going to be down 30 points by halftime. That's what we were hearing. So allow for guys to make names for themselves, although they may not start off that way.
Yeah, well, Tom Brady. I heard he was a 6th-round draft pick. Another one, Antonio Brown. Another guy.
There you go. There's not a bunch of them. Navarro Bowman, a 3rd-rounder. I can go down the line. Mm-hmm. You know? Terrell Davis, Super Bowl winner.
You guys have to go do your fancy TV stuff. Not nearly enough time.
I wish we had another 30 seconds with you.
We got to do it.
I had a quick question for the guys, though. I've been talking about this all offseason, Shaq.
I'm a nerdy guy, and this is what Willie does to me. Hey, listen. We'll do more of it. We'll talk forever. Hey, you know what you should look up, Patriots fans, right now, if you're feeling embattled? We talked last January, Heath Evans, Willie McGinnis, and I. We did 45 minutes. It was gangbuster stuff, all about how cool a guy Tom Brady is on top.
That was really good stuff.
I encourage you to dig that up. Nate Burleson always doing dynamite work on NFL Network and all the
NFL next time coming in is pure story time.
That's all I want. It's just the stories. That's what I love.
I'm trying to get some stories out of Willie. See, Willie like a vault, man. See, I don't understand. I'll be in the green room picking his brain. And
that's Belichick getting in his head. He's got to just tell us all the stories. That's it. All right, Willie McGinnis, Nate Burleson, thanks so much. Enjoy your teams this year, fellas.